The voice you are about to hear belongs to a fictional character. The events do not. They are unfolding across Northwest today. This is Yasmin's story. In Manchester Rusholme, one of the most deprived constituencies in England, secondary schools face critical shortages in science teaching, while qualified graduates who want to teach chemistry cannot access the training programs that would put them in those empty classrooms. Here is what happened when Yasmin tried to bridge that gap.
I always knew I wanted to teach chemistry. Not from the beginning, but from year 10, when Miss Ahmed looked at my test results and said something that changed everything. Yasmin, you have a gift for making the complex simple. That's what good teachers do. I was struggling then, not with the science, but with believing I belonged in it. My parents had sacrificed everything to give me chances they never had, working 18-hour days in our corner shop on Wilmslow Road, so I could focus on my studies instead of serving customers after school like my older brother. When I graduated from Manchester Metropolitan with my chemistry degree in 2021, the plan was straightforward. Apply for the PGCE secondary chemistry programme right there at MMU's Institute of Education, complete my teacher training, and start inspiring the next generation of scientists in my own community. The government was offering £28,000 bursaries for chemistry teacher training because there was such a desperate shortage of science teachers. It felt like everything was aligned. Then I got the acceptance letter with a surprise attached. Due to Treasury spending constraints, the email read, the chemistry teacher training bursary has been reduced from £28,000 to £10,000 for the upcoming academic year. I stared at those words for a long time. The course fees were still the same. My living costs were still the same. But somehow, the amount of support had been cut by nearly two-thirds, right when schools were crying out for chemistry teachers. I couldn't afford to live on £10,000 for a year while completing unpaid placements. My parents couldn't help. They were barely keeping the shop afloat after lockdown nearly killed their business. I had to defer and took a job as a teaching assistant at Connell Sixth Form College, hoping the bursary would return to its proper level the following year. It didn't. When I applied again in 2022, I was told by the Department for Education's recruitment team that chemistry teacher training places in the Northwest had been cut by 40% to meet national targets. The woman on the phone was apologetic but firm. There is no funding for additional places beyond what has been allocated centrally. I thought that was the end of it. Everyone accepts these explanations because they sound reasonable, don't they? Budgets get tight, departments have to make difficult choices, we all have to live within our means. I was disappointed, but I understood. Then I called Manchester University to see if they had any places left. Dr. Sarah Chen, in their teacher training department, told me something that didn't make sense. We have empty places on our chemistry PGCE, she said. We can't fill them because the reduced bursaries have made the course financially impossible for most applicants. We're running the programme at half capacity. I asked her to repeat that. Empty places. On a course designed to train teachers for a subject where there was supposedly a critical shortage. In a region where schools were advertising chemistry teaching positions they couldn't fill. The building costs are the same whether we have 10 students or 20, Dr. Chen explained. The lecture theatres are there. The lab facilities are there. The experienced teacher mentors in local schools are there. We're just not allowed to fill the places because the Treasury won't fund the bursaries that would make it possible for people like you to take them up. That afternoon, I walked past the University of Manchester's education building on Oxford Road. I had walked past it hundreds of times before, but this time I really looked. Entire floors of empty seminar rooms, science labs with dust covers over the equipment that used to train chemistry teachers, a building designed to prepare teachers, sitting half empty while schools a few miles away were advertising for chemistry teachers they couldn't find. I stood there looking up at those dark windows and realised something had been wrong with the story from the beginning. The people existed. I was one of them. The buildings existed. I was standing in front of one. The schools needed us. That was never in doubt. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? The UK government issues the pound. Every note in my wallet has the Bank of England's promise on it, which is the Treasury's promise. The government that creates the currency told me it couldn't find enough of its own currency to connect willing chemistry graduates to schools that needed chemistry teachers. The real question to us was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were, all of them. I started to hear the phrase differently after that. When someone from the Department for Education said, "There is no funding," what they meant was, "We have chosen not to create the funding." When Treasury officials talked about spending constraints, they meant, "We have decided to constrain our spending." These were not facts about the universe. They were political decisions dressed up as accounting problems. I'm still here, still working as a teaching assistant, still watching those empty university buildings and unfilled teacher training places. I understand now what I didn't understand then. This was never my personal story of bad timing or unfortunate circumstances. It's the story of every constituency where the resources to solve a problem exist side by side with people who are told those resources cannot be accessed. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins maintains there are not enough of them to train the teachers its own schools are crying out for. That's not a limitation of mathematics or physics. It's a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. And it's the same choice being made in constituencies across the country, wherever people are told that what they can see with their own eyes cannot possibly be afforded.
What Yasmin experienced here has a name: logical fallacy. A logical fallacy is flawed reasoning that appears sound but breaks down under examination. The false analogy is one of the most common types, comparing two things that seem similar but work in fundamentally different ways. You wouldn't compare a goldfish bowl to the Pacific Ocean just because both contain water, or expect them to behave the same way when you add a cup of salt. Yet every time Yasmin was told there is no money for teacher training, officials were applying household budget logic to a currency issuer. Households must earn or borrow money before they can spend it. Governments that issue their own currency spend money into existence. When the Treasury told the Department for Education to cut chemistry teacher training bursaries, they weren't discovering a mathematical limit. They were making a political choice and describing it as though they had no alternative. The austerity objection, "We have to live within our means as a country," assumes those means are fixed. A currency issuing government's means expand with its spending capacity. The real constraint was never sterling, but whether England had the teachers and buildings needed. With 40,000 teacher vacancies, the answer is clear. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Manchester Rush Home ranks 30 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 1,889 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received were £32.8 million, as recorded in 360 giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.